This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. This month marks the 100th anniversary of the New York City subway system, which is the nation's largest by far. When it was built, that subway system was informed by a philosophical movement called City Beautiful. The City Beautiful movement embraced the idea that you could inspire civic virtue by building beautiful structures. NPR's Margot Adler reports on one current subway program that's keeping that idea alive.
If you walk through a long tunnel between subway lines at 42nd Street near Fifth Avenue, you'll find a wall covered with gray and gold lines, with quotations from Goethe and Joyce, even a nursery rhyme. It's one of 125 artistic works created for the Arts for Transit program. You might walk by it 50 times before thinking that the gold lines seem like roots of trees, and you are standing underneath Bryant Park. And the quotes come from literature, and you're walking under the public library. New York City has lots of public art, both loved and hated, but you almost never meet anyone with a bad word for the sculptures and mosaics in the subway.
I think the real success and the accomplishment of this program is that so many of them speak to so many.
Sandra Bloodworth is the director of the Arts for Transit program. She says ever since it was founded in 1985, the program has felt a connection to the people who built the subway 100 years ago, a sense of shared mission and philosophy.
It's about that connection to the place above, connection to the subway, connection to the people riding the subway.
Some of the art is out in the open, some like a hidden treasure. You only notice if you're connecting to a certain train. Touring these works with Bloodworth, we go up a staircase at 59th Street and Lexington Avenue near Bloomingdale's. You suddenly notice small mosaics of coffee cups and shoes. And then you enter a room as big as a school gym.
Oh, my!
Its four walls covered by a huge mosaic mural by the artist Elizabeth Murray. Colorful branches undulate and quotations pour forth from cups of coffee. The first quote by Delmore Schwartz says, "In dreams begin responsibilities." The second, by Gwendolyn Brooks, says, "Conduct your blooming in the noise and whip of the whirlwind."
And it very much captures the movement through this space. And, you know, you're standing here with this giant trees, coffee cups spilling out the quotes.
You're running to make your train. You've had three cups of coffee. You're totally hyper. And yet, here it is. You have responsibility to make the world a better place and to have joy, both in what you do and how you are.
What more could you give to this city?
But most commuters rush by.
I think it's very pretty. I like it. I like the colors.
Very interesting.
I'm so late for work. I'm sorry.
Bloodworth then takes me to Brooklyn, to the subway station by the Brooklyn Museum. On the wall are terracotta faces and ornaments from 19th and early 20th century buildings. Each artifact seems like a picture on the wall of a gallery.
These icons, this terracotta is a precious material, and we're setting it off with this little gold mosaic frame around it.
The artifacts cry out to be touched, and they're meant to be.
When they reach out and touch it, we've succeeded. They not only are experiencing it, they want to connect to it.
A lot of subway art is touchable. Take 14th Street and 8th Avenue in Manhattan. There, on the platforms and stairwells and hanging from overhead girders, are all kinds of unusual bronze figures.
Blue-collar workers, white-collar workers, all male and female, radicals who have no clothes, little pointed hats, cops, and my favorite, rich people.
Artist Tom Otterness created 108 bronze sculptures for this subway station. A whole world, homeless people lying in corners, people with money bags for heads, some images inspired by the political cartoons of Thomas Nast.
Like the money bag heads, all that stuff, it was all corruption at Tammany Hall, but it didn't seem like much had changed in 100 years, and everything seemed perfectly applicable today, so I just kind of took a lot of Thomas Nast stuff and went with that style.
Some of the statues are shiny from so many people touching them. One sculpture of a man sits on a bench, just like a waiting passenger. Then on the floor nearby is that great New York myth, an alligator coming out of a manhole cover. As we look, Paco Diagno, an immigrant from Senegal, passes by.
The first time I saw this, I was like, who the hell is doing this? You know, but as I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow, this is great work.
Tom Otterness has done many installations, but says this one is special to him. He comes here when he's unhappy with life. He just sneaks down to this platform to watch people react.
Sometimes they just are confused as, you know, what is this stuff and why is it here? I think that in itself serves a great purpose, you know? Something totally inexplicable in the world is a good thing. It's not selling anything. You don't know what it means. It's closer to real life, you know?
And it's full of whimsy. Tom Otterness's collection of sculptures is called Life Underground. 124 other permanent artistic works can be found in the New York City transit system. Margo Adler, NPR News, New York.
You can also find some subway art at NPR.org. Our series on the New York City subway continues Wednesday with the saga of New York's Second Avenue subway.